the Rule of Threes Podcast. The Rule of Threes Podcast. It's the Rule of Threes Podcast with Chris and Casey.
It's the Rule of Threes Podcast. I'm Chris Grace.
I'm Casey Lawrence.
And it is Monday, November 16th, 2020. I'll be honest, a little sooner than I thought we would be back doing this podcast.
I was expecting to take a month, maybe a month and a half to 2 months off. I was expecting to come back around the new year and pop everything in, you know, take a real long stretch away from basketball. And instead, we're cramming it in early. COVID be damned.
I mean, the last time I heard about this, I believe on this podcast, we talked about Martin Luther King Day being a good day to start in February.
What if we took Martin Luther King Senior Day, which everyone knows is December 22nd,
right?
And Martin Luther King Senior Day is November 22nd.
By the way, you have a great Lakers hat on. What is that?
Oh, thank you. I have a Lakers hat. It's got like a little bit of a shiny jersey look on the top, and it's got some felt on the brim and a real shiny metallic Lakers logo.
That is great.
And then on the bottom of the brim, there's a giant Lakers logo. it's a lot. This is the peacocking of Lakers hats.
That has the effect of like if you were to look down upon someone. They see the regular logo and then the other logo like pops up.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, and you know, I'm taller than a lot of people, so they see the brim of the hat from the underside. You know, it's just the way it works. They get double Lakers. Nobody can mistake this hat for any other team. There's no mistake.
Well, it's very cool. So the NBA is back December 22nd, a lot sooner than I thought it would be. Now, teams that didn't go to the bubble, it actually is probably fine for them because they stopped basketball in, like, what, March?
Yeah, March. Yeah, don't forget, we shut America down in March and didn't fix anything.
Right. And we're basically in a worse situation than we were in March.
Much worse.
Much worse. More COVID. So now's the time for us to start a new season. That's not going to be in a bubble, by the way. Is it going to be in like mini bubbles, like regional bubbles or just regional travel ish?
No, they're just going to play basketball.
Empty arenas.
No,
not full arenas.
No, not full arenas, but like
25%.
The NBA is not mandating not full arenas. The NBA is not mandating a minimum or maximum number of people in an arena. That's up to the states. Okay, it's the states' rights to choose how many people can die by watching basketball.
Right. Oh, by the way, the commissioner of the NBA is now Rand Paul.
Yeah.
States' rights.
Rand Paul loves just doing a big juke, getting – he's the one who got punched by his neighbor so hard he broke his rib, right?
I think so.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, imagine that he is the Rudy Tomjanovich getting
to the Kermit Washington. Yes. Yeah.
That is us wanting to punch Rand Paul in the stomach.
Now, this is strange because the NBA was very, I consider the Lakers to be all of the NBA. The NBA was very careful about its COVID response. And pretty much we thought it was a success in terms of. Nobody really, like, no outbreaks, really. No one seriously getting ill from it.
Yeah.
As compared to some of the other professional sports that are happening in the country, which are having outbreaks all over the place.
Right. And here's the issue that I'm seeing, right? Just if we're going to concede that they're going to do it anyways and that it is not a question of morals, which I do believe it is a question of morals and they should not be doing it. That being said, if we allow the thought experiment to continue, which saying that phrase should immediately get me disqualified from being on a podcast, right? that being said, the thing that makes MLB and NFL and NCAA football a little more uniquely equipped to handle a COVID outbreak.
Let me guess. They don't have ceilings.
You know what? That's a really good point for one. Okay. But for two, it's the size of the teams.
Oh, true.
Right? You know, you have 50 some people on a football team. You have almost 30 people on a baseball team. And, you know, if one or two people get COVID, you isolate everybody else. You make sure that they're okay. And then they can continue playing. In basketball, the number of people that it would take to severely cripple a team is much lower.
In some cases, one.
Yeah.
Some teams have had entire seasons waylaid by one person not being available to play. I also think it's a bad idea to just be indoors for that long. You know, one of the evolutions that I've had over this lockdown has been at the beginning of the lockdown, I think there was a lot of, you know, we were worried about surfaces and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. But now we're pretty clear that it's aerosolized.
Mm-hmm.
And that one of the worst things you can do is to be indoors with other people for a sustained amount of time. Specifically when they are not just sitting silently.
Yeah. Let's say they may be breathing heavily because of the amount of rigor that it takes to put your body through a professional basketball game.
Right.
Or then, let's say you're yelling, I don't know, go fuck yourself to Austin Rivers while you're in the stands at a Clippers game. There's so many things that could happen.
Really, they should reinstate your ability as a fan to give the middle finger. They shouldn't get tossed out for that anymore.
Yeah, that's the only acceptable way to say fuck you to anybody anymore is because, you know, I take it back. There's another acceptable way to give them the put your arm. You know, I guess that always comes with a middle finger too, doesn't it?
Elbow under the arm.
Elbow
under the arm. No, sometimes it doesn't. No, sometimes it comes with a, if you're Italian, sometimes it comes with a chin under, hand of the, yeah.
Yeah, I mean that seems like puppetry. I'm not into that, Italy.
Actually, I don't see how it's possible that they have any games played in the Staples Center because California is about to go on lockdown again.
Mm-hmm.
Governor Newsom just moved a bunch of counties, I should say, back into their previous tiers on their on the blueprint for opening up the economy page or whatever. So LA County's been in tier four the whole time.
Yeah.
We've never gone to tier three. Orange County was in tier three and was hoping to get to tier two because if Orange County gets to tier one, the governor has said that they can reopen Disneyland, but they're not that close.
And they went back into tier four, did they?
They either went to four or three, but everybody's in three or four as of tomorrow or whatever.
Yeah. I'm going to say we need to get some of these people up into A tier, you know, so that we can get them to carry some games. You know, I mean, really, if we're doing a tier list, a full ranking of California counties and
S tier.
S tier, you know, that's elite. That's, you know, that's the top of the top. That's Alameda County. You know, that's Kings County. You know, there's only a couple of counties that get up into S tier.
I've learned the names of counties that I've never heard of before, like Modoc.
Modoc. Oh, I love Modoc County. Isn't that where Hodor is from? Modoc County. Isn't Modoc a villain in a Marvel
series? He's got a big head.
Yeah, that's who he is. Modoc.
Also, I learned how to pronounce Placerville.
Placerville. So it's not Placerville?
It's not Placerville. It's Placer County.
Placer County.
You know, wow. I think I might have told you this, but back in May or June or whatever, Eric and I went to a campground that my friend has. The campground is in Julian, California.
Yeah, love
but Julian. on the way, some of the Trumpiest towns I've ever seen.
Bro, East County, San Diego is no joke. It's full on military Trump city over there. Like I lived there in the early 2010s. And you did not want to roll up into Santee if you did not know where you were going.
Yeah.
Do not fuck with East County, San Diego.
Well, they were having every Thursday, people would bring their motorcycles and just be on the street with their Trump flags.
Makes total sense. They do that in Los Angeles County, up in Tujunga, Sun Vista. What's the city up there? Tujunga Sun something. There was a every Friday Trump rally before the election that my friend went and counter protested.
I believe that town was Ramona, California.
Ooh, Ramona. Yeah.
So because the season's coming back, everything else has to be pushed up as well.
everything not only has to be pushed up, it has to be crammed in there. Just like the rollback net code on this Zencastr program we use. Everything gets crammed in if the packets don't get passed away.
That's right. That's some tech talk from Casey.
That's some tech talk. I mean, maybe it's that my brother's got me to download Guilty Gear XX Accent Core because they're doing a rollback net code test. Maybe it's because of that, but maybe it's also just because, you know, you see something, you apply it to something else.
So things that have been moved up, the trade deadline or the trade window or whatever. Well, the trade deadline too will be moved up.
Trade deadline will be moved back.
Oh, it will not be. Why?
Well, why would it be moved up?
Well, because normally be in February, right?
Uh-huh. Oh, and so it'll be moved back to like March.
Oh, wait. Because we are starting the season later than we normally would be.
Yeah, exactly.
But earlier than we thought it would be.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah. I mean, in a way, like the draft is happening later. And
yes, the draft got moved back. But
the free agent window was moved back.
Yes, yeah, everything was moved back.
Feels like it was moved up.
Yeah, it really does.
It's a lot like one of those group dance numbers that's like right foot back, left foot back. Now stomp, you know.
Yes. Crisscross. Crisscross. Have I told you about my plan to, at my wedding, have that song play, but just at one point have a part where I've spliced in just them saying crisscross 100 times in a row until people get upset? That's my goal. I'm not going to do it now that I've said it out loud, right, but it'd be pretty fun too.
You should do it, and at the end it plays What's New Pussycat.
Whoa.
So the draft is this Wednesday.
Yeah, draft is tomorrow.
It's tomorrow. East Coast time.
It's crazy.
And so free agency started today.
Free agency
or
did not start
trade
today.
The ability to talk ability about trades
to perform trades. The ability to perform.
When does free agency start?
I think free agency starts right after the draft. I think this is just a. Like people can opt into contracts. That's a thing that can happen right now. But I don't believe you can sign a new contract with a new team yet. I think that happens later.
So if you want to engage in free agency, you're going to have to wait all the way to like Thursday or Friday this week.
Yeah, I mean, real crazy.
Then we're going to start Summer League on Monday. We're going to start preseason next Wednesday. Regular season will start next Saturday. The playoffs will be the day after that, and then the finals will be in 10 days, and we'll finish up.
Yeah, finals are going to be on Thanksgiving. We're really excited to see who wins the 2020 NBA Finals. We don't know yet.
So let's talk about trades that have already happened.
It's been a wild one.
I mean, not to mention the barely month-long of off-season drama that we had.
Yeah, the only drama being that the Houston Rockets decided nobody wants to be in Houston anymore. That's the big one.
So did they let go of Daryl Morey or did he quit?
Daryl Morey.
They did not renew his contract.
Yeah, they amicably parted ways so that he could go processing in.
Well, the thing is, he originally said, you know, he wasn't sure if he'd go back to another NBA job. And then, like, 12 hours later, he's like, I'm going to the 76ers.
Yeah, don't mind me. I'm just going to tell Elton Brand what to do all day. Right. So, then, yeah.
Well, Wes Rivers.
Doc Rivers went to Philly. Steve Nash is now the coach in Brooklyn. Mike D'Antoni's on his staff. Nate McMillan was fired, and they replaced him with, I think, just some random guy from – who did they replace him with? Holy crap, I forgot already.
While you look that up, Russell Westbrook and James Harden, who were supposed to play together forever. I believe Westbrook is the one that said he doesn't want to play in Houston anymore.
Correct. I was – too shy to say it, but yes, it is Nate Bjorkgren who has been hired as the head coach of the Indiana Pacers.
Oh, but they replaced a Nate with a Nate?
They did replace a Nate with a Nate.
Okay. That's all you need.
Nate to Nate, the Nate to Nate connection.
And so Houston is all screwed up.
Houston's all screwed up. They have requests from both of their stars to get them the fuck out of Dodge.
Oh, I thought Harden said he was down for the season.
Harden did say he was down for the season. And then later today, he said he wants to go to Brooklyn.
Oh, right. Because he wants to be with Durant and Kyrie.
Yeah. Very funny.
Obviously, haven't been the biggest Harden fan in a while. Uh-huh. But like, it would be funny for him to go to Brooklyn, because that is like the memeiest team ever. Like the most Reddit drama around.
Oh yeah,
just like such conflicted feelings about their top three stars if he goes there.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. It'd be a total wreck, and it would be great television. I'd be so excited for that, because first off, they're just all going to get COVID, and that's like. They're going to have a terrible season. I mean, everybody's going to have a terrible season. I don't know. I'm very pessimistic about this season and its viability long term.
The thing is that if the season starts December 22nd, Joe Biden will not be president until January 21st.
Bro.
That's 30 days of Trump level COVID management. I don't mean like that Trump would have anything to say about the NBA and how it runs, or that Biden would overrule the state governors in any particular way, right? What I'm saying is that by the time December 22nd gets around, we'll probably be at this point, we'll probably be like 200,000 new cases a day. Like we hit 180,000 cases on Friday.
I think that's probably too many cases. If I was just going to throw that, I think that's probably too many cases.
It's funny because at one point Dr. Fauci was like, oh no, one day we're going to have 75,000 a day and that's going to be really bad. And now it's like, oh, that would be great if we could just get it down to 75,000.
Oh yeah. I mean, we'd be on our way to eradicating nothing and fuck, man.
So, I mean, I agree with you that it's kind of insane to think that we'll have even a 25% capacity basketball game will be what, like 3,000 people?
Yeah, like 3,000 to 4,000 people
in an enclosed environment for 3 hours,
and they have to like go into the stadium and get out of the stadium, and they have to sit with people, and you know,
yeah. I mean, so that's what I mean. Like, what I was trying to get at when I talked about how we felt at the beginning of the lockdown versus late is that at the beginning of the lockdown, I think we would have said like, oh, if it's 25% capacity and everybody's 10 feet away from each other, because of the nature of how we think it travels, it's mostly through surfaces and like, it probably won't be that big a deal. Now we know like that the longer you stay in an enclosed environment, it doesn't really matter if it's a gigantic arena like Staples. If you're in there for 3 hours and you're not being silent, that's going to be a problem.
Okay, so what we got to do is we got to get a jet engine and put it on the top of Staples Center and make sure that the doors on the bottom level stay open so that like every bit of air gets sucked up into the jet. And so if you were like to shoot a half court shot, it would like parabola a little harder and fall back into the. That makes sense, right?
That makes sense. And also, why not just put all the players on the jet and send them to the moon?
Hey, we can do it now. Okay, SpaceX put people on the space station.
And also, I don't know, probably not all the states will even get to 25% capacity. Some of them are going to go 50. Yeah, it does sound, it's interesting that, because I felt like the NBA was such a good model for how a corporation should act with the bubble. Mm-hmm. So this is a little worrying.
Yeah, the thing to me that is a problem is it feels like they gave up.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It doesn't feel like they're like, oh, we're going to do the thing that worked last time. It's like, we're going to like put people at risk for this game. And I don't see the point, and it is upsetting to me. And then I'm going to let a little bit of my cognitive dissonance just go and live in my brain as I get excited for the season.
I think that it almost sounds like reasoning that would have made sense even 3 weeks ago, where you're thinking like, oh, I think we kind of have a handle on it. But I would say that the last 7 days should make you think, hey, why not call up Disney again and just do a 30-team bubble not everyone is going to like it. Some players can sit it out, but like it's a safe way to conduct a season. And yeah. it's a long time. Maybe you do it in a chunk. You take what would have been the All-Star break and let people go home to their families, retest, come back into the bubble. It's not outside the realm of possibility that they have to do this anyway. Yeah. Because I believe that if they called up Disney, Disney would be like, we'll be happy to like sell you this many hotel rooms
yeah.
for this time. And I would hope that Adam Silver, if we get to December 10th and our daily cases are above 200,000, which is not that crazy, I would hope that he at the very least, I hope that you just go like, let's wait. Let's wait till after Biden's in and just see what happens.
Yeah. I mean, at 200,000 cases a day, we're running out of people.
I mean, it also could mean that maybe you and me at some point are going to get called up to play.
You know what? Real excited to take my skills to the one team that'll have me, and that is the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Who will have you'll have some new teammates. Should we talk about trades?
Yeah. Let's get into it, and let's talk about the trades that have happened so far. So there was one trade that happened as soon as talking about trades was permitted, and that is the Los Angeles Lakers are sending Danny Green to the Oklahoma City Thunder with a first-round draft pick, the one from this draft, for Dennis Schroeder.
I'm excited about this.
I'm also excited about it. I think Dennis Schroeder is going to find some really awesome places to skateboard in Los Angeles. I think he's gonna really fit in with the skate culture in the South Bay in LA. A lot of the Laker teams or Laker players, make their residence in the South Bay or in the Valley. So, I think he'll probably find his way down to, Hermosa Beach has got a really great skate park on Pier Avenue and Ardmore. I think that's probably a good place for him to peddle his wares. And I think he's a better player at the point guard position than we've had in some time.
I was a little surprised that it seems like Rondo's leaving.
Money.
I mean, it just seems weird at this point in his career, but if he can go get a deal, I guess he can go get a deal. But if he does leave, then I think Schroeder's, I mean, I wasn't super excited about having Rondo again for another regular season.
I mean, I am so happy with what Rondo did in the playoffs and how much he contributed to the team. And I don't think he can ever do it again. And I'm excited to get him off the fucking roster.
Yeah. That's what I'm surprised about in a way. The idea that he in his head thinks he's going to be like a fully functioning NBA player for a whole season and whatever.
I mean, could we also not like attribute this to the genius of our good friend, Rob Pelinka, knowing that he needs to move on from Rondo?
Yes.
He's got better options.
Exactly. Yeah. So the thing that surprised me was that Rondo was so clear about wanting to leave that they make this move. Also, if Danny Green hits that three-pointer in the finals, I don't know if this trade gets made.
I think it gets made anyways. I think Danny Green knew that he was going to be here for one season.
Uh-huh.
I think that he knew that he was going to be a trade piece. I mean, it just makes total sense. You sign somebody who you think can contribute and be a part of the team, and then
yeah.
I think that they are very happy to be rid of him.
I think it's a good upgrade. It's a starter level point guard.
Well, okay. So here's where we have to talk about the negatives of Dennis Schroeder. The man doesn't play defense. Can't play defense.
Uh-huh.
So he feels to me more like a backup point guard. Like, because the starting point guard on the Los Angeles Lakers is...
Kyle Kuzma?
Kyle, I deleted my Twitter, Kuzma. No, it's LeBron James.
Right.
Right. And so, LeBron's going to play 32, 35 minutes. And I think you don't put Dennis Schroeder in the starting lineup with everybody. I think you have him play that, 1.5 guard and then put Caruso in to maximize your defensive pressure when he's in the game. I think he fits in well with the bench squad. And I think he's a perfect sixth man fit for this Laker team. I think we'll have to see who can fill that role on the, the team of Danny Green's guy who's good at defense. You know, we just have like, we need to have guys who are good at defense. And will KCP be back? Will Avery Bradley be back? Will they sign Wesley Matthews, which has been rumored? You know,
oh, there's, boy.
I mean, you know, if you squint at Wesley Matthews,
he gets fatter.
I mean, you know, and his dad was a Laker, you know, that's,
who's his dad?
Wesley Matthews.
Oh, okay.
I don't he's Wesley Matthews Jr. He's been that, Wesley Matthews, got choked as he was a, NBA player.
So Dennis Schroeder. So wait, what do you think is the starting five then?
For the Lakers?
Yes.
I think it's LeBron and Anthony Davis.
Uh-huh.
And then I don't think I know who will be on the team.
So do you think, so if you had Caruso and him, you would put them both on the bench squad or you'd start Caruso?
I would put them both on the bench, yes.
Oh, okay. I think that Schroeder is going to start. That's just my thought. I think he's going to start. I think he's had some... Yeah, I mean, I don't know. But by the way, Oklahoma City now has no point guards. Or rather, they have some... They don't have either of their previous point guards.
Is right? Shai Gilgeous-Alexander not considered a point guard?
I don't know.
I would consider him a point guard. They had three point guards.
And they got rid of two of them.
Yeah.
So, okay, just to clarify, Lakers... traded for Schroeder. They gave up, you said, the 28th pick and Danny
Green.
Yes. 28th pick, which we don't really know anything about.
Correct.
The draft is Wednesday. A lot of people think LaMelo is going first, so good for them.
Good for them.
I mean, really, you can't... It's hard to fault anything that LaVar Ball has done because he has guided his two of his three sons to, at worst, a number two pick in the NBA draft and basically set them up financially for the rest of their life.
Yeah.
That's pretty good parenting.
That is pretty good parenting. I'm going to say this. Poor LiAngelo, man.
LiAngelo.
What's LiAngelo going to do?
He should have become a tight end in football.
Yeah. I mean,
he played good. Tight end, I believe, and he should have been the Tony Gonzalez. He should have gone towards the football.
Yeah. It makes sense.
Let me throw another trade at you. Milwaukee Bucks get Jrue Holiday.
Mm-hmm.
The Pelicans get Eric Bledsoe, George Hill, three first-round picks, and two pick swaps.
Yeah, that's insane. That's just insanity. I think the price for Jrue at the deadline last year was two first-rounders. How did this happen? How did this happen?
I think it's Milwaukee feeling like they're one... That they've really got to open, you know, like act on their window now. They're worried about losing Giannis, and they feel like they're just a piece away from winning it all.
And that piece is Jrue Holiday?
Maybe. I mean, that's going to be a ferocious defensive team.
Yeah, absolutely. But Jrue Holiday's 30.
Yeah. And the Pelicans get three first rounders. Like, you know, maybe similar to me, maybe the Bucks really hate Eric Bledsoe. Just wanted to get rid of him.
Okay. You know, that's a really good point. I would pay somebody to take Eric Bledsoe away from me as well. I hadn't thought about that.
It is a pretty, that is a package that feels like a superstar level package. Because Eric Bledsoe and George Hill not so much, but I mean, like, they're serviceable rotation players,
mm-hmm.
plus three first round drafts.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, we've also had over the past couple of years teams stockpiling all these draft picks, and not necessarily. I know that everybody loves to like I believe the Thunder now have like enough draft picks to like redraft an entire team or something over the next
I believe couple years. They have 16 first round draft picks in the next 6 years or so.
Yeah. But the question is, does that like actually turn into you being able to field a championship level team? And I don't know that that's proven to be true yet. You know, isn't that kind of what the 76ers were doing with the process?
Yeah, the process was two pronged, right? One, it was collect draft picks. Two, it was lose a lot. Oklahoma City has not yet done process part two.
Right.
They may lose a lot this year. They also still might have a team that is feisty because that's just what they do.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. I think the Bucks at least are trying to do something.
Yeah, I just don't like what they did. I don't want to come off as I don't like Jrue Holiday. I like Jrue Holiday. I think he's a really good player. I just don't see this being the thing that puts the Bucks over the top. I really don't. And I wish I did. I wish this was the thing that I thought put them over the top. But I don't see that, and I guess we'll just have to see, right? Because is Jrue Holiday a better defender than like Eric Bledsoe?
I think he is.
By how much?
But yeah, now I don't know if he's this much better.
Yeah.
However, he might just be a better, you know, Eric Bledsoe's an asshole. I think that this it's weird to say that I think this gets them into the finals because mm-hmm. a lot of us thought they should have been in the finals anyway.
Yeah.
We also don't know what this very short postseason for playoff teams is going to do because they really like if the season starts December 22nd, that means training camps are what? Like in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So the time that you have to get a new mix of players on the same page is way shorter than it's ever been.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let me throw another trade at you. Portland Trail Blazers get Robert Covington.
Mm-hmm.
The Houston Rockets get Trevor Ariza, this year's number 16 pick, and a 2021 protected first round pick.
Yeah.
What do you think of that?
I think that that is a trade that is very funny. I think that the fact that the Rockets traded for Trevor Ariza again is so funny.
Who's the GM at the Rockets right now?
He's a first-year guy. And I remember that I saw his name on my timeline.
Because that seems like somebody being like, oh yeah, didn't Daryl like this guy at one point? But then we didn't. Well, let's try him again.
Covington, I think he was like the second in command there. They hired him as the GM.
For someone who has been a very wanted asset, Robert Covington, he has moved around a lot.
I mean, it's really just, he had his big first move to Philly. Then he stayed in Philly for a while. Then he moved to Minnesota.
Yeah.
Then to Houston and now to Portland. So four teams in 3 years, sure. But, that'll happen with a guy who's traded for a title run, which is what they tried to do.
It just seems like that's a lot for someone who was considered like almost the perfect 3-and-D player and he started with the Rockets.
Yeah, he was on the Rockets at the beginning, and then he made his move to Philly. Philly got him. I think that the Rockets cut him, and then Philly picked him up.
Gotcha. It doesn't really seem like a trade that's going to move the needle, particularly for the Rockets.
I think it's going to move the needle. I think it's going to move the needle for our good friends up in Portland. I think he's a really, really good fit in Portland.
Uh-huh.
I think that Robert Covington will be a really good player for them. He's annoying. He'll play defense, shoot threes. Like, he doesn't need the ball at all on offense, and that is mm-hmm. just an absolutely perfect fit with our Damian and our CJs and our Bosnian Terrors. Serbian? He's Serbian, right?
I don't know, but I just want to point out that we're going on probably month 19 of me saying they should break McCollum up.
Yeah, I mean, here it's just not happening. That's just not going to happen.
Yeah,
just saying. Unless CJ decides to move. Like, that's it. That's all the only way that would happen.
Now we got the Phoenix Suns.
The Phoenix Suns have traded
For Abdul Nader. End of trade.
End of trade. All right, next trade. Chris Paul is heading out of Oklahoma City and into the Valley of the Suns.
Mm-hmm.
Is something that should also kick me out off of a podcast for saying.
How old is Chris Paul?
30? He is 47. I think he's 37.
The Oklahoma City Thunder are getting Kelly Oubre, Ricky Rubio, Ty Jerome, Jalen Lecce. I don't know how to say
Lecce.
And the 2022 first round pick.
Yeah. I think that's a good haul. I think that's less of a, because like, what do they need, more draft picks from somebody? Like, I don't think so. I think that they need players, and getting a Ricky Rubio is good. Kelly Oubre is good. And when I say good, I don't mean like, they're great. I mean, these are people that you can play in an NBA game and no one will laugh at you for that.
It's the kind of we have a bunch of players. We don't really know who's good or who will be good for us. And we'll have a year to look at them. We have a year where we have really no expectations.
Yeah.
We have an all-star player who really wasn't meant to stay on this team forever anyway, and we all kind of knew it from the beginning.
Yeah.
He took the team sort of further than we thought they would last year,
mm-hmm.
which is great, and we're all going to celebrate that. But we're not going to let that – we're not going to delude ourselves into thinking that we're going to build a Thunder team around Chris Paul.
Yeah. I think it feels like the – Suns are making this move for Chris Paul because they feel that they can contend in the West next year.
Yeah, that's totally wrong.
You know what? I don't know, man. I think that adding Chris Paul to that team makes them scary. Like,
I think they'll make the playoffs. And I think that they can. Yeah, I don't think they're going to be a serious finals contender.
I don't think they're going to be a serious finals contender, but I think they're going to lose with a lot of fury in that second round.
Right?
Whether it's to, you know, the Lakers or the Clippers or the Warriors.
Right? I think it depends on the alchemy between Chris Paul and Devin Booker.
The Nuggets.
Oh, the Nuggets. Like, they're not going to be the Mavericks, Nuggets.
Right? Like, I don't know. I don't know. I think that DeAndre Ayton is much better than we give him credit for. Mm-hmm. I think that their young players on the perimeter, Cameron Johnson, I think they're excited about what the future holds in Phoenix. And I'm kind of excited, too. I'm interested in the Suns team. I think they might be a top four team in the West.
So I think that the Phoenix organization would think, let's get Chris Paul because look what he did for the Thunder last year. He really instilled this sense of discipline, and they became a very gritty, tough, mm-hmm. hard to beat team.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So what I would hope is that if I was Phoenix is that's going to rub off onto Ayton and to specifically to Devin Booker, especially on defense.
Mm-hmm.
So if Chris Paul can like basically coach from the court and magically turn Devin Booker into a, if he buys into Chris Paul's ferocity,
mm-hmm.
then maybe they'll be a top four team. I just know that Devin Booker is a person that doesn't want people to double team him in a pickup game.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. But a pickup game isn't the NBA, and the NBA is I think he showed that he had a full game this season. So I'm interested. I think another interesting thing here is Suns coach Monty Williams was Chris Paul's coach back in New Orleans.
Yes.
So there's a little reunion there. They know kind of how to work his system. I think I'm excited to see. Because I think he'll just fit so well immediately with this team. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Chris Paul is kind of ball dominant.
Yeah.
In a way that might not, I wouldn't say necessarily fits with Devin Booker super great.
Yeah.
So that would be a concern of mine. He's also a year older.
Yes, he is older, and he's going to be old until he dies.
Right.
And now I guess we got to find out, what is Jake from State Farm going to do? There's no red in that Phoenix uniform at all.
Mm, they'll put some in. The Brooklyn Nets traded for Bruce Brown.
Yes, they did. They traded Zanon Musa.
That's right.
For a second round pick. Yes. This is a not going to move the needle a ton trade, but a good way to fill out their roster, I think. What I was seeing online, because I don't know much about Bruce Brown, is that people like his defensive play. And I think that that is a good thing for that team. They're going to need defensive play. So I'm excited to see what he looks like soaking up 15 minutes a game for them.
Let me throw another trade at you, which was just on this page that I just refreshed. The Milwaukee Bucks get Bogdan Bogdanovic and Justin James. Sacramento Kings get Dante DiVincenzo, Ersan Ilyasova, and DJ Wilson.
White Dante is in Sacramento, baby.
I like Bogdanovic.
I like Bogdanovic too, man. I think he's a good player. It's wild to me that there's just another dude with the name Justin or James in the NBA.
You can make a team that's just James and Bogdanovic's.
Yes, you absolutely could. Yeah, I mean, I like that because I think Bogey wanted to walk from Sacramento anyways. I think he was out. So I'm in on this. I think this is a good trade for them. I think that I think they had rightly determined that Dante DiVincenzo was not going to be a piece that was worth keeping. Mm-hmm. So they got rid of him, and you know, Ersan Ilyasova, DJ Wilson. Who cares?
I like Ilyasova. I don't know. He seems
He's funny. Old, man. He's old now.
Oh yeah,
he's
for
too,
sure.
He's way too old to for be sure. a piece on.
He just seems nice at those bubble dinners where it's all Croatians and Serbs and stuff.
Okay, that's
I forgot what they were called. They called them. They give themselves like a squad name.
Well, Ilyasova is from Turkey, and
Why was he at those dinners then? Maybe I was wrong.
I don't know. Well, maybe here in Los Angeles, we are against Turkey.
The bird, or
well, I mean, I'm against Turkey the bird, but our large Armenian.
I'm not diaspora. Getting into that. Half the time when I read about what's the guy that was Enes Kanter,
yes,
and you know he's against Erdogan,
yes,
right, but who is a dictator, I guess.
Uh huh.
But then, like, the guy that Kanter supports is also not great.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not
you're just staying out of this one.
Between Armenians, the Turkish, Greeks. Because Greeks and Turks over the island of Cyprus have a whole lot of issues.
Yeah.
It's very, very contentious. And
yeah,
I prefer to stay in the world of America where we don't have contentious divides between them.
here's the only thing that I have to say about this. There is no greater Los Angeles Laker fan than any random Armenian you'll meet in Los Angeles.
Yeah. Okay. And so are you saying that because of that, you will also acquire their disdain for the Turkish?
Are they Turks?
I don't know.
It is because of this that I believe that we should support the Armenian, the Lakers at least should support the Armenians in their struggle.
Well, who are the best Armenian players?
The best Armenian basketball players?
Yes. And has anyone been
no
on?
Dog. No dog.
On, like the Lakers, you know, you put them on the Lakers and it's like Jeremy Lin on the Houston Rockets.
Yeah.
By the way, I really hope that Jeremy Lin finds an NBA team to play for this season.
I hope so too.
He's working out. He's playing on Jordan Law's YouTube channel. I've been watching a lot of YouTube basketball.
Oh, that's good.
Which is very, you really have to suspend your sense of what is safe from a COVID perspective when watching YouTube basketball, because none of them give a shit about it.
Yeah.
None of them care. And I don't know how that's possible.
That's very funny.
So actually, we got draft this Wednesday. You said free agency starts relatively soon, so we'll have more stuff to talk about.
Yeah.
And like today is the 16th of November. The season starts December 22nd. We're going to have to do our like over-unders.
We're going to have to do a speed run.
Like speed very run. Soon.
Here's the deal. We're going to have to do speed run preseason. Yeah. We're going to try to get the world record, but we're worried. You know, we've got a lot of competition in the category. So that's very important. You know, I have been playing a game that encourages you to go fast.
Oh,
and it's not Sonic the Hedgehog. It's called Hades.
And, oh,
big fan. Recommend it to everybody. It's a good ass game.
And once you really get into speedrun world, then you're talking about like which frame you jump on sometimes.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Have you gone deep into the Mario speedruns?
Yes, yeah, yeah.
That those are crazy. That people
they are even crazy.
Know it, that if you know,
you can jump on a specific frame and you can jump off the side of walls. It's there's a lot of little tricks. You can move the camera forward, which turns the warp pipe into a ladder to the it turns just a pipe into a ladder to the warp zone. There's exactly. So much of it.
Before we go, what's the deal with Gordon Hayward right now?
He exists and he is still on the Celtics. There's nothing in the chatter that is hot yet. Nothing hot on the streets for Gordon Hayward.
All right. Maybe he'll go to, you know what? He should join TSM League of Legends team.
You know, I think that's probably a good idea for him.
In case anyone's wondering, my current favorite teams in Valorant are TSM, 100 Thieves, and Cloud9.
Oh, nice.
I didn't love Cloud9. I know Cloud9 from Dota, and it's a big organization. I was kind of indifferent about Cloud9. But they've been putting up a bunch of like fun, the five of us do. Like, you can hear the five of us talk during a tournament match and hear what we say, which is the thing I always want from the NBA.
Yeah.
And it makes, you know, it's fun to listen to. They're very supportive of each other in tournaments.
Awesome.
And I like that.
Hell yeah. Just, hell yeah.
There, let's put it this way. There, it's five anti-Eric Bledsoes
on a team. Okay, yeah, that's important. I mean, freaking Eric Bledsoe.
Do you have any shows coming up this week?
Do shows exist still? How does this? What is this?
I don't know, but someone's backing up a truck at 11 at night here in my neighborhood.
A nightmare. World's a nightmare.
I'm doing a corporate, not a college improv show.
Oh, in that's fine.
So, actually, I have turned down two or three corporate gigs. One of which specifically was, do you want to co-host our like Christmas event? From a green screen studio. All that it'll be is we're going to rent a studio and you're going to be in the room with another co-host and a stage manager and a tech person. And it's just indoors for 4 hours. And I said, no, I don't want to do that.
Yeah. I wouldn't want to do that either.
That doesn't sound that safe, does it?
It doesn't sound that safe. I like maybe if the co-host was Eric,
Yes.
And if the tech person was you and the stage manager was Eric and you two did the four people's jobs.
I did say that like I could do it from my garage and I have a studio there. By the way, we resurfaced our garage floor.
Oh.
So now it's completely smooth and it has tile on it. So now it's a wonderful little podcast studio.
I love it. Wow. So one day.
In 2022. Rule of Threes will be live again.
We're getting the podcast back as soon as we get that vaccine. I'm getting straight to the dome, and I'm posting up outside your apartment. You have a house. It's not an apartment.
All right. Well, we're back.
See you all soon.
Yeah. I mean, we'll probably have to be back like Friday or Monday to talk about draft.
Yeah. I mean, because you – I don't know shit about the draft classes here. I've read stuff. All I can do is regurgitate. And so I'm excited to see what happens.
You also traditionally are not like super interested in the draft because you're not into college basketball at all.
Not a college basketball guy, but I am somebody who loves NBA Summer League. So I'm ready to go to Vegas. Okay. Vegas, I'm ready.
Vegas is probably open for you right now.
Fuck.
Yeah. So like this time next week, you will have had to cram in a lot of YouTube watching of LaMelo Ball.
Uh-huh.
Anthony Edwards.
Uh-huh.
James Wiseman.
Yes. Obi Toppin.
By the way, wasn't there already a player in the NBA called Anthony Edwards?
No.
No?
No.
But also, but wasn't he Goose in Top Gun?
Yes.
So, no. Okay. So I'm just thinking he's maybe a little old for the league. And here's a fake name that is absolutely a name you'd make up for your fake far-right Twitter sock puppet account. Tyrese Halliburton.
Ooh. Love it.
So you're going to have to get to know these players real quick. And I haven't seen hardly any of these. I mean, I've seen LaMelo Ball ever since he was a kid. LaMelo Ball, who the school he went to is USA. His college is, or his, like, you know, it says freshman, sophomore, freshman. LaMelo Ball, he might be one of the first American international players.
Brandon Jennings was an American international player.
He didn't go to college?
He played abroad.
Did he go to China?
In Italy. Okay. Don't you remember?
Vaguely. Was Brandon Jennings the one that... No, it was Johnny Flynn when Minnesota drafted like 3 point guards in one draft.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, Brandon Jennings went to play for L'Automatica Roma instead of going to college.
Uh-huh. He's not still in the league, is he?
No. He has not been in the league since 2018.
Okay.
And who else did it? Darius Baisley just did a year off of school, I think is what happened. He like interned at New Balance or something.
That's cool. So him and Blake Griffin are going to start like a digital media agency.
Yeah. And yeah, and he did that. He got drafted by the Thunder. He played for them last year. So
good for him. Actually, I like this idea of just going. I mean, you've got to be down with people just saying fuck college. Or in the NBA sense.
Yes. Yeah.
Not generally.
I mean, you know, a little. I'm a little fuck college.
Yeah.
But not a lot. Not a ton. Like, college is good because it helps your mind grow. Because you're a young person and you need your mind to grow.
For the modern professional athlete who is pretty sure they can get a job in sports, I'm pretty much down for saying fuck college.
Fuck college, Trump.
Everybody go watch that Ben Simmons documentary.
Oh yeah,
of him at LSU.
Are you watching The Undoing on HBO?
I am not. That's the Hugh Grant show.
Yeah.
How's that?
It's dramatic. It's melodramatic.
If you have Amazon Prime, skim through the movie The Lie, with Peter Sarsgaard and I don't know how to say your name, Mari Enos.
Okay.
The one who looks like Julianne Moore.
Okay.
And that's a kind of silly movie.
Yeah.
Takes itself very, very seriously.
Love a movie that takes itself too seriously.
I mostly watched it because people complained about how dumb the ending was. Oh, and also we watched Midsommar, which is fine.
Oh, you know what? I didn't like Midsommar.
I thought it was fine. I thought it was extremely predictable. And I think, and I'm trying to unpack why I don't like it, because I generally like movies that have a dark view of life or something. But there was something very, and I actually got into arguments with people on my Facebook, as usual. And I'll just say this about Midsommar. Midsommar to me feels like a movie made by a dude about how shitty dudes are towards women.
Yeah.
But is a movie where you get to see all these decisions and thoughts and speeches by all these dudes in the movie. And the main character is a woman who doesn't, like, actually in the entire movie, what you see on screen doesn't get a single moment of agency where she gets to decide what she wants to do. Now, she does have some when I tell you what the story is. Like, mm-hmm. If I were to write down what the plot spoilers were, you'd be like, oh, she had to do something here or whatever. But when you actually watch the movie, you never see her get to make a single decision on her own.
Yeah.
And I think I'm sort of uncomfortable on behalf of, like, that doesn't seem that cool to do.
Yeah. I'm with you on that.
It's a whole, a whole line of thinking that I didn't think about until that Joker movie came out. Because that was the thing about, like, where if you talk about what he does in it, it's like, oh, he does this, he does this. And then if you break down what they actually show you, that's something very different.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is that Midsommar feels like a movie that was directed by Eric Bledsoe. All right, Casey, let's meet up next week and talk about the draft.
Love it. Catch you later.
All right, we'll see you guys.